Blog Talk Radio.
Job working as an intern with Will Smith.
Yes.
You say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me and you said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
All right, we're going to stroll down the international side and
see what's going on the international side. Look, get the broadcast going on. That give me a chance to get my act together and be ready to do my part. On the international side, I see what it's saying. All the slots are spilled. But that's 195 international countries have law. I got a lot of memos, but I cannot get at that as I pop the machine on and listen and seeing what I'm saying. You know, I got to overlook a little of that, because that can distract me into going in another direction. All right, 195 international countries, they ready to hear something. What's flashing out of New York on the international side? 102278. 102278 is flashing. 102278. We'll leave it like that. We'll bring Mr. Tibbs in, and we'll get a chance to get our act together. If he be have a little long-winded in him, we'll find out. So one thing about it, when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, "Brother Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh be with you there, C. Royal."
And Yahweh bless you, Brother C. Israel or C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mr. Tibbs. Well, excellent weekend, excellent Saturday, and everything on winter okay, but we are done that, and now we're on something else, and the feast is only hours away, and what can I say on that circumstance? Mr. Tibbs, 195 international countries, 102278 is in the room. So I'm going to leave it like that. And whatever Yahweh put on you, you take your shot while I get prepared to do my part. You on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother C. Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast of 102,278 listeners. And we know that we all came to hear, but most of us here can understand, and some listening never will. To see those things that most of us can see and some can never find. We touch those things that most of us here can touch and others can never feel. For it's the wicked can do none of these things. And why? Because it's the words of Yahweh which makes all this and more possible for the righteous. We look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 12 and 13. And it tells us about the righteous. Verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Yahweh is against them that do evil." 13, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" Well, we can tell by the increasing number of Yahweh's ministry that a lot of us have came here for the good of Yahweh's word, which is a good thing. And we receive it and commend unto it. And some cast the same words they hear behind their backs, which is not so good for others' learning. There are raven wolves in sheep's clothing that come just to see who's attending, what we're talking about, who's on their side, and deceptive thinking. And I know many have seen just as much as I. These are the people, the ones that have to realize we're here for one reason, not who sits on your left, or who sits on your right. That's for the word of Yahweh. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry, coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's word, connecting the books, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have knocked, and you came to seek, and you found that which you have sought in Yahweh's ministry that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We usually don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday from 6:30 to 9:30 until the temple members desire to leave. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m. And the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m., once again, until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address that the members can use. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your current smart devices. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under the big line, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any one of your other devices, it may appear to be a little different. This time under the line, you may see menus. Clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offering, and follow the same instructions as for previous use. Doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto Yahuwah, O your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength." 8. "Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah Live. Also, to build a school, a banquet hall, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself and family in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. This time, on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We currently are using two email addresses. The first is tribeyhdh@gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions answered of a biblical subject or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeal@gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how our program was liked by you. We have a few numbers also to reach Yahuwah's ministry. Considerably think to use them before broadcast time or afterwards would greatly be appreciated as not to disturb Yahuwah's words. We've taken a few verses from the Bible to explain why. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8 says, "Answer not before I've heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk." In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26 says, "If any man, a woman, among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceives his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain." But still, there are those that do the opposite of what the scriptures say, as many of us have seen before. They will call during the program announcement or cause disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. I suppose they just ignore or may not be familiar with Yahuwah the Son has said in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. 29 says, "Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahuwah." Also, we find it extremely necessary to mention, please by no means contact the seer for questions direct via voicemail, email, or text. He's usually pretty busy, usually answering many memos, even having thoughts of running just a memo show. Responding to the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man. I even almost get tongue-tied trying to pronounce all the things that he does. And mostly important, the most important things, is preparing Yahuwah's lesson before our program actually starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited to to only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered directly by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahuwah be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, as I previously mentioned before. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But, again, not the seer. He's often tried to exceed Yahuwah's creation of 100% and found that this is impossible, as quoted in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26, as you'll find out later what that means. For those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15, except for Fridays. This program is repeated at 9:45 due to start time. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Once again, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, we're in the process of making it possible to get a CD or DVD recording or any program by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, today is always an exciting day, and each and every day we speak of Yahuwah's word. Nothing has changed this day except the number of people, which is an increasing number, which is a good thing. And those that attend, commend it. Add unto it, only following by those casting the same word they hear behind their back, wanting to hear only certain verses in the Bible they like, taking the verses meaning totally another way, along with noisemakers, complainers, wanting to be a deceptive listener, flipping the pages to look like they're paying attention, but are lost when they're called to speak the words of Yahuwah. They have clearly forgotten that we are only one man or one woman. And seriously, time is not in our favor. But the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what a man or woman was Yahuwah created to do in this life. And that's if at all possible. Because if anyone ever says that even done 101%, they just lied. Now they're doing another work of another, past Yahuwah's creation. Now that's impossible. But don't forget what Yahuwah the Son has said about the impossible in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26. Let's see what 26 says. But Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible. So remember, as I've mentioned many times before, that no man or woman can measure their last days. Because in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 36, 36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only that day and hour knoweth. No man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So knowing this, we keep this in mind, that the Bible tells us a man or woman are measured by their works. The things we think, do, and say. We look at the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18. 18 says, yea, a man or woman may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. We look also in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 25. 25 says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he or she being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man or woman shall be blessed in his or her deeds. Well, we've seen a lot of people that can listen to the word, and they forget right after they've heard it, which is a shame. This is the reason why we have a teacher in each one of the camps. And a teacher always has to show worthiness, because a teacher that opens the door for his listening students also has to walk through the same door himself. Because there are those that ask questions for learning and those that ask to see if you really know or to trip you up. That's why I always say a teacher can't learn from a student but already have a knowledge. The teacher even gains more experience by teaching because he already knows. Now, being a student, you can possibly learn from a good teacher, learning to share knowledge with others what he or she has learned. Even I have to admit this applies to myself when sharing knowledge. So after we have received lessons from the Bible on how to righteously proceed according to Scripture, don't be led by friendly deception, which we've seen before. Yahweh has given men free will, a choice, which was said in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. 19 says, I call on heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. So don't step out there and do what it says in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 2. 2 says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. We have a lot of people out there these days that have no fear of Yahweh, doing all evils during their lives, even cursing the name of Yahweh, which I know many of us have heard. Only fear him in the face of death or great drama. This is when you hear those same people, their moans, screaming to Yahweh, oh, Yahweh, help me, please. But where was the Yahweh before? It was not thought of until the last moment. Remember what I said in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19? That was mentioned earlier, free will. Yahweh has given you that, a suggestion in that. He said, choose life. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, remember what it says in verse 5. For there is one Yahweh and one mediator between Yahweh and man. That's Yahweh the Son. So at this particular time, we hope you keep your Bibles open and continue to take notes, because there's a lot to learn on this program to share with your loved ones and a lot to absorb yourself. So at this particular time, I'll pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mr. Tripp. Excellent. I heard it, man. Get back to it. All right, good. Another episode. Remember one thing, the great big feast day is only hours away, day and a half or something like that, whatever it is, it's right around the corner. And want to talk about your health and make sure one thing, your health is very important. I want to talk about it, your health, and you got to get your health together, Steve Ray, because it's a great job that is ahead of us, and you got to have your health together. But some things I need to get the definition of, Brother Yahdai Israel. So get your pen and see, can you write down a few words for old seer, and we're going to see what they mean and see which way the lesson go. I'm looking for a word called F-R-O-W-A-R-D. I want that word on the table. And I want the word called W-H-I-S-P-E-R-E-R. And I want a third word on the table called H-E-R-B. I want that third word on the table too. Three words I'm looking for. First word is F-R-O-W-A-R-D. The second word is whispers. WHISPERER, and HERB, HERB. Them three words I want on the table for this lesson, and we're going to see which way, once we hear them, which way they go. And remember one thing about your health, C. Ray. Listen, you got to make sure that you have Sirach 16:12 before you. 16:12 of the wisdom of Solomon. I mean, the wisdom of Solomon. In 16:12, it tells you it's not the herbs. It's not nothing that you're doing going to get you right unless your Yahweh is in front of you. So you must have your YHWH working for you for Yahweh to activate all the medicine you need to be a soldier for him in time to come. So keep that in your mind. Now, once you clear, if you can look in the mirror and you see your Yahweh is before you, then what we're telling you will be in effect. Because he's telling you in 1 John chapter 2, about 20-22. He said, John, ask them how long before they want to ask me something. That's if they keep in Torah instruction, you see. That's why it's very important to understand when you come around the six anointed camps, be prepared to hear something, not tell something. Key to it is to come prepared to hear something. And just don't be ready to always blot out things, because in all the six anointed camps, they might stop and ask you, why did you blot that out? In 1 Peter 4:11, it tell you if you're going to open the mouth, you have to have an oracle and be ready to give a good answer in 1 Peter chapter 3. So we try to stick to the rules of the Bible, although a lot of times when people get corrected, they don't like it, and they don't like to call correction. That's called reproof. They don't like that. But we got a job to do to get into the kingdom, since this ministry have been picked by Yahweh to lead this way. So we got to lay a lot of groundwork down. That's why these three words is very important to run them down and get the meaning of these three words. Herb, H-E-R-B, one word. Forward, F-R-O-W-A-R-D, two words. Whisper, W-H-I-S-P-E-R-E-R. So we're going to bring Brother Yahdiah Israel. He's going to run down them three words, and we're going to put them on the table. And we'll see which way it goes. Before we do anything, we want to put them on the table. So let's go look for Brother Yahdiah Israel, and let's see if we bring him in. And we'll get on them three words and see what we're working with. One thing about it, when you meet your brother, with a loud voice you say, Brother Yahdiah Israel, Yahweh be with you, L.C. Roy.
Yahweh bless you, C. Israel. L.C. Roy. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Brother Yahdiah Israel. Well, we gave three words on the table that Brother Yahdiah Israel. Before we get on tape 34, I'll take the time and run all three of them words down. I repeat one more time. Forward, F-R-O-W-A-R-D, whisper, W-H-I-S-P-E-R-E-R, and her, H-E-R-B. Take them three words that Brother Yahdiah Israel and see what meaning that we need for tape number 34. Take your time. You're on the clock. Come on.
I read from the online dictionary of the Oxford language. And it reads, forward, F-R-O-W-A-R-D, of a person difficult to deal with, contrary. Second word on the table.
Hold on, come back with that word again, that Brother Yahdiah Israel, because I want to take notes. Like I said, I don't know where we're going, But we go on somewhere. Now come back. You might have more than one. You might have an A, B, C, D on these certain words, and I'm gonna pick out the best meaning for cake number 34 on it. So come back and take your time there, Brother Yagdai Israel. It's very important. We want to lay it in just right. So see how many, what all said on the word, whatever you mentioned first. Take your time and come back with it again. And I'm going to put a pin on some things there, Brother Yagdai Israel. Come on.
I'm looking at this definition for forward, and it reads, a person difficult to deal with, contrary. Forward meant moving or facing away from something or someone. Toward meant moving or facing in the direction of something or someone.
Okay, hold that part. Well, the first one was right on. I accept the first one. See, here's the point. Let me say something. What do you mean by difficult for a person to deal with? You know, is I remember once upon a time ago, Buggy's come, helped to the temple up real nice, but when he come in, I said, hey, brother, what kind of spirit you got on you today? So you can never know what kind of spirit you got on today. So you say, what you working with? So that would mean by four. You get tough because you don't know what kind of spirit a brother or sister got. See, you want to know what you're working with. So sometimes you got to wait until they respond to see what you're working with. You know, is it one of them days, you know? So that's number one. So that's pretty good. Whatever you said, the number one answer, put down number one, that I like that. Those that can't figure out how to deal with them, tough to deal with them, because you don't know, they'll say things that just don't line up, and you can't get in a comfort zone with them because they'll say some things that don't line up. Now, what's next, Brother Yagdai Israel?
Looking at the online dictionary, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and it reads, definition of whisper, W-H-I-S-P-E-R. First definition, to speak softly with little or no vibration of the vocal cords, especially to avoid being overheard. Two, to make a sibilant sound that resembles whispering. Three, to utter or communicate in or as if in a whisper.
What did one say again?
Definition number one, to speak softly with little or no vibration of the vocal cords, especially to avoid being overheard.
Can you help me with that one, Brother Yagdai Israel? Well, since you're looking at it more closer than I am, can you tell me what are you getting out of that one right there, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The first definition is you speak in a low tone because you don't really want to be heard with whatever your conversation might be about. So you whisper to avoid being heard.
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty good. So what? That's number one, too?
That's number one.
Okay, good. Okay, that's good. Now let's go to the herb. So that's pretty good. So we got two number ones that people will hear you. You think you be saying something, but people who do hear you. But you got people that when you do the right thing in Yahweh, they have your ears where you catch you even if you don't talk under your breath. You can be heard because Yahweh makes sure that it has to bring it out. and you will be heard. You know, you will be heard. But Yahweh will make sure you be heard, especially those that have to always make a statement. It just have to be heard, so they'll make a statement. Now, what's next? So what's the next thing you're working with, Brother Yahdai Israel?
H-E-R-B. Number one definition, any plant with leaves, seeds, or flowers used for flavoring food, medicine, or perfumes. Definition two, any seed-bearing plant that does not have a woody stem and dies down to the ground after flowering.
Well, I guess you want to probably look on blue, on the, like they say on the, they call it the blue line or something. No, it's gonna point outside of. Matter of fact, this is a New York word, Brother Yahshua Israel. This word originated. Yeah, I know you have a famous radio disc jockey named Herb, but we're not talking about that. Now, this name right here is a slogan that came out of New York, and they were saying, don't be a herb. So I need a little bit more, or maybe you need a little more time, you know, to really work. I need get out of the flower thing and let it get on to something else. I want to see, can you come up with something else, or we can put it to the side and let it come back later. So can you come in any other way with that word there, Brother Yahdai Israel, that put it into a people understanding of what that definition, it came out of New York. It was a slogan made in New York. I don't want to touch on it. I want to be surprised to hear it there. Come on.
I'm reading from the Urban Dictionary, and it reads, herb, number one definition, to be whacked, worthy of being mocked, weak, choppish, and generally to be avoided. Two.
Ain't that? Hold on a minute, Brother Yahdai Israel. You know how some, all right, for example, remember maybe back in the day when somebody come to school, they come to school, and they know the pair of pants that they got on right there. It ain't nothing but it's a good mark for a joke. You know you're going to be signified on when you wear them pants. Everybody's going to stop and get a signify on you. And they say worthy of being marked because you put yourself in that position. Now come back with that and read that again and listen what he said about this word herb. You know, so sometimes, you know, you might call a brother or sister, you know, you ain't nothing but a herb. They might think you're talking about some garden. No, we ain't talking about no garden. We should tell you what exactly this word originated out of New York, how they put the slogan together. Now listen to what Brother Yahdai bring on the table on this word called herb. Herb, because if you call a herb, let's show you what this word is saying and the meaning and where it comes from. Come on, Brother Yahdai Israel, one more time.
I'm reading from the Urban Online Dictionary, and it reads, herb, to be whack, where you're being marked, weak, chumpish, and generally to be avoided.
Mm-hmm. Start again on the, I want the part about being marked. I mean worthy to be marked. Come back there, Brother Yak. Can you help me out, Brother Yahdai Israel? I'm trying to go somewhere, but I want to kind of, you know, walk into it. You know what I'm saying? When you bring it out, then I can comment on it. Come back with it again, that Brother Yahdai Israel.
Reading from the Urban Online Dictionary, and it reads, number one, herd, to be whack, worthy of being weak, chumpish, generally to be avoided.
There you go right there. That's right there. So sometimes if a person call you a herd, they say you worthy of being mocked, because you do not make strong decisions. You can be a person that have no arm, no leg, but one thing about it, if you got a mind, you got to make a right decision. You got to make a right decision. That's what we trying to tell you. You got to make right decisions. And you got to have, you got to make a Bible decision. See, in these ministries that both of two is right, we is going to set it up according to Scripture that you have to make Bible decisions. You cannot be a herd, you know, worthy to be marked for making weak decisions. You make weak decisions based upon you don't want to offend nobody. So what I do, I just make a weak decision. But see, that's not biblically of the Bible. Somebody got to tell it like it is. And what he'll set up and going to set up and it's going to grow if the six anointed camps understand that you must make Bible decisions and lead by example or you'll be a herd. You'll be a herd. Simple as that. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Brother Yadda Israel, let's get something going on. You on the clock, come out.
The book of Luke.
All over again. Start all over again. Start all over again because WCC said we didn't understand what you trying to say. And you ain't called out none of the new guesses we got from the radio station out of Los Angeles, California. Why so? Because I don't want to call them out right now. I'll get back with that made in this broadcast later. Now, Luke chapter 12, verse 12, come on.
Book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And I believe that. And welcome, KKLA 95.5 FM, Los Angeles. SALEM Media Group and Broadcast. We is listening to the broadcast on what you think about the seven Catholic sacraments. The seven Catholic sacrament. I don't have no answers for that. Seven. Brother Yagda Israel, I see you send me a memo what they are, but let me just see. Brother Yagda Israel, what is the seven Catholic sacrament? Catholic, C-A-T-H-O-L-I-C, sacrament, S-A-C-R-A-M-E-N-T. Let's see what is they listening for me to go over what do bosses of the two Israelites think about the seven sacraments. Sacraments. Catholic, C-A-T-H-O-L-I-C, sacraments, S-A-C-R-A-M-E-N-T. All right, WCC, let's see what you're trying to bring to the table with the radio station KKLA 95.5 FM and what? KSBJ 89.3, Los Angeles, California. Let's see. Well, we'll see what you're working with. Then we'll peep. What you working with, Brother Yagda Israel?
Let me see what I got here, sir.
We're looking for the seven Catholic sacraments. What is the set? Now they just blasted on the stream. What is the seven Catholic sacrament? But let me see what you're trying to tell me there. you're trying to say something, and you got the president and the CEO listening, president and CEO on right here. Let's see what's going on here. Anthony Wright. I can't read real carefully, but we'll find out what you're talking about. Catholic sacraments. What you got there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
I read from the online article called Loyola Press. This reads, the seven sacraments. Jesus touches our lives through the sacraments. Our celebration of the sacraments are signs of Jesus' presence in our lives and a means for receiving his grace. The church celebrates seven sacraments, which are divided into three categories. Sacraments of initiation. These sacraments lay the foundation of every Christian life. Baptism. In baptism, we receive new life in Christ. Baptism takes away original sin and gives us a new birth in the Holy Spirit. Its sign is the pouring of water. Number two, confirmation. Confirmation seals our life of faith in Jesus. Its signs are the laying on of hands on a person's head, most often by a bishop, and the anointing with oil, like baptism. Confirmation is received only once. Number three, Eucharist. The Eucharist nourishes our life of faith. The signs are the bread and wine we receive, the body and blood of Christ. Sacraments of healing. These sacraments celebrate the healing power of Jesus. Penitence. Through penitence, we receive God's forgiveness. Forgiveness requires being sorry for our sin. In penitence, we receive Jesus' healing grace through absolution by the priest. The signs of this sacrament are our confession of sin and the words of our absolution, anointing of the sick. This sacrament unites a sick person suffering with that of Jesus and brings forgiveness of sins. Oil, a symbol of strength, is the sign of this sacrament. A person is anointed with oil and receives the laying on of hands from a priest. Sacraments at the service of communion. These sacraments help members serve the community. Matrimony. Matrimony, a baptized man and woman are united with each other as a sign of the unity between Jesus and his church. Matrimony requires the consent of the couple as expressed in the marriage promises. The couple and their wedding rings are the sign of this sacrament. Holy orders, number seven and last. In holy order, men are ordained as priests, deacons, or bishops. Priests serve as spiritual leaders of their community. Deacons serve to remind us of our baptismal call to help others. Bishops carry on the teaching of the apostles. The signs of this sacrament are the laying on of hands and anointing with oil by the bishop.
Today is the day that the Roman Catholic Church saying, those that attend any of the Roman Catholic Church Christianity, this is the day that whatever your sins and whatever your sins have done, once the bishops them lay their hands on you, all your sins is forgiven. So sin is forgiven, and you will be lined up for being saved. And that's what today is. In the Roman Catholic Church, all the Roman Catholic Church, and they got lines packed out everywhere, because whatever you're saying, whatever you have did in your life, today is the day that you can be forgiven for anything you have did, because the Roman Catholic Church will be laying hands on you all day today and tell you, son, my daughter, your sins, whatever it is in the past, it is forgiven. And you will say, well, that's it? Well, no, that's not it. Then you bring that big nice bag with you? Oh, yeah. We'll go ahead and drop it off in there over there. And then that consummate giving the sin. All right, Brother Yagdayez. Well, so the mass. Give me the definition of the mass. I got to get, like I said again, because what happened, some that's be on the dying bed, and if they do not have the mass before they prep, and that's why this pestilence has slowed down the priest coming in and giving you your last profession, because the mass is what? M-A-S-S. What is they always a show up for M-A-S-S? And what do that mean that we can read in the mass? What do the mass signify? And give me a timeline on it when it was implemented. The mass. M-A-S-S. You're on the clock, Brother Yagdai Israel.
I'm looking at the definition. See what we got here.
The mass. They'll ask you, are you going to mass? Are you going to mass? They'll ask you something, and they really, this pestilence has slowed down a lot of them going to mass, especially on a mass hours. They want mass. So let's see what do they mean by they want the M-A-S-S. Brother Yagdai Israel, kind of bring it for this national audience to understand that Catholic believers, they have to have their mass. Come on.
I'm reading from the online Catholic Mass, and it reads, the Mass ain't a guest feast. Most of us are aware that all Christian communion practices have their beginning in the Last Supper of Jesus and his apostles. That Last Supper was actually a Serber, S-E-D-E-R meal. And many contemporary Jews would recognize many of the elements, the sharing of the cup, the blessing, the breaking of bread, the soap that has handed to Judas as part of their Passover celebration. The New Testament book of Acts 2:42 records that early Christians would gather together to worship, pray, and teach. In the years after the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, there were two different but similar customs or early sacraments that are closely related to the more contemporary practice of communion. These two sacraments could also be called meals, as one was the Lord's Supper and the other was the agape feast.
Mm-hmm. So the mass is going towards, you take mass because the mass is the Eucharist, and the Eucharist is the bread and the wine, the blood, and Jesus Christ is in the mass, and so they want to make sure they got their mass because Jesus Christ is in the mass. And on your, you know, you take it, and even on your dying bed, you want to have the Eucharist for your final and lot of a lot of people have died according to COVID, but they believe if the priest was allowed to come in and bring them their mass, which is called the Eucharist, they don't know quite a few could have been saved. So this pestilence have messed up a lot of them, so they want to get down to the bottom of this because they want to keep their mass, which is called the Eucharist, because Jesus Christ is in it.
I have a second definition that gives a little bit more clear understanding to it, if you want me to read it there, see ya.
Hey, you got some of that. See, remember, we come this broadcast to enlighten. We not anti anybody. We know we very scrutinized all over the country, but we prepared to do it, and we know that we come to edify the demonic camps, but we understand that we don't have opposition from every side, but we is equal up to the challenge of that anyway. So there's no problem about that. So we will deal with whatever it is, if Yahweh allows to be, and we want to break down and see what you're saying about this, so we're going to get a second opinion from Brother Yagdal. He's going to take a look at this mass and give a second definition on it, and that's a good thing. Come on.
I'm reading from the online Britannica dictionary, and it reads, Mass, the central act of worship of the Roman Catholic Church, which culminates in the celebration of the sacrament of the Eucharist. The term Mass is derived from the ecclesiastical Latin formula for the dismissal of the congregation. Ictus missa actus. Go, it is the sending, dismissal. After the Second Vatican Council, 1962-65, the form of the Mass changed greatly, most conspicuously in the use of the vernacular language in place of the traditional Latin. The Mass consists of two principal rites, the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist.
So the Mass, it made a change, but can you come back and give me the origin of the word Mass? But we know in the 1900s it made a change, so they kind of made some adjustments on the Mass. But can you give me the origin of the Mass? The Mass, when did it start there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Let me see if I can run down that information, see. So far I haven't seen any particular origin dates.
So we know they made an alteration in the 1900s on the Mass. We clear about that. They made a little alteration on the Mass in the 1900s. So we clear about that. It was a little alteration made by the Mass. And the Mass is based upon that Eucharist, that cracker and a drink. And once you take the cracker and the drink, you just have drunk you some Jesus Christ. It's clear, but we need a timeline. When did that come in place? When you do the Mass, drunk some Jesus Christ.
I'm looking at timeline here, Sierra, and it reads, what is the origin of the Catholic Mass? Beginning in the 8th century, the private Mass evolved in the monastery of Northern Europe.
So the Mass, although it made a little alteration in 1900s, they made an alteration, but the origin of the Mass, the origin started, what time again now, Brother Yahdai Israel?
It says in the 8th century.
Mm-hmm. So around about the 8th century, So around about 800, that's when the Mass, the foundation of the Mass, according to their own words, around the 8th century. So that's good. So the Mass started around about the 8th century. Then they made a little adjustment in the 1900s on the Mass, and the Mass is pointing toward, by you having Mass, that means you have the Eucharist and the drink, and what you signifying, what is said over here, and this is what you, the reason you doing this is because of a statement that was made in St. John chapter 6. The reason why you doing this is because of this statement right here in the Bible was that was made, and this is where it's coming from when it started in the 8th century. So this is in St. John chapter 8. We'll pick it up at verse number 51. No, we pick it up. We'll pick it up at verse 48. We'll take a look at this because we see the memos you got, and radio station KSBJ 89.3 and KKLA 99.5 FM is live and well on this broadcast for a answer. Because this is the day that the Catholic, if you at the Catholic Church, this is the day that whatever your sins is, it is forgiven. And then you want your bread and your wine, because let's see exactly in verse St. John 6, verse 48, and we'll see, can we take it down to verse number. We're not gonna stay on it after we put this down. Now we're gonna get on something else, but we will entertain this. But it's something a little bit more I need to get at to entertain this. But I'm gonna entertain it a little bit now. In St. John chapter 6, verse 48 to 58 says what, Brother Yagdai Israel? Come on.
The book of St. John chapter 6, verse number, St. John chapter 8. Chapter 8?
No, chapter 6. Chapter 6, pick up at verse 48 to 58. St. John 6. 48 to 58. Let's see what we're working with the Eucharist, and we're working with, this is where it's coming from, and the origin of, although this statement is way before 96 AD, but when they put it together in the 8th century, this is what they drawed it from, and 6 verse 48. But it say then, St. John 6, 48 to 58, come on.
The book of St. John, chapter 6, verse 48 through 58 reads, Book of St. John 6, verse number 48, I am the bread of life, verse 49, your father did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man and woman may eat thereof, and not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man and woman eat of this bread, he or she shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, Yahdah Judah therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give up his flesh to eat? Verse 53. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Verse 54, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 55, for my flesh is the meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwells in me, and I in him. Verse 57. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he or she, shall live by me. Verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your father did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Read verse 58 again there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Just give me three lines. That's all I need is three lines. Give me three lines. Let me see what we're working with. Three lines.
The book of St. John 6, verse 58 reads, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your father did eat manna.
Good. So Yahweh the Psalm was talking to them, and he mentioned something about your fathers. He said, your fathers what? He said, your fathers what in verse 49? Your fathers that. So this conversation is about your fathers. Your fathers that was where, according to what we can read in verse 49.
The book of St. John 6, verse 49. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness.
Oh, so this is talking about your fathers that was in the wilderness. This conversation right here is about a people father that was in the wilderness. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter, and let's see if we get a little bit more on it. But this conversation is talking about some peoples that fathers that was in the wilderness that had a little manna down there. Let's see if we find out a little bit more about the peoples that they're talking about. Because, see, here's the point. Everybody got a story to tell, but the peoples of the book ain't got no story to tell. That's the reason why now they line up everywhere trying to get their blessing, and they can't put enough oil on their head right now on the forgiving for whatever you have did right now is on the clock as we speak. You know, you remember the gas lines? Remember the gas lines back in the days when you had to get in line to get you some gasoline? Your car, you'd be a block trying to get some gasoline. So that's what's going on right now, see, right here. So they block and all the establishment trying to get their sins removed. But this is talking about, this conversation that we read is about the fathers that was in the wilderness. So I want to precept that to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's see if we get a little bit more. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's pick up at verse number 1 through 5. And then I want to skip down to verse 11 and see if we tie all this in. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 5 and 11. You're on the clock, Brother Yahdai Israel, come on.
The book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verse number 1 through 5 and verse number 11 reads, Book of 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Verse number 2. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse number 3. Did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse number 4. Did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Yahweh the Son. Verse number 5. But with many of them, Yahweh was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse number 11. Now all these things happened unto them. For an example, they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world our cause.
So he said this is written for our admonition. This is written, but the our fathers, he's talking about the warm pepper. This conversation that we read in St. John chapter 6 that was rehearsed by Paul in the Corinthians book 10 is for your learning to go back and see who was our fathers in the wilderness. And we want to find out, well, who is that message that was lined up, because in the 8th century, that message became the message of the Roman Catholic Church, that saying that if they can get their Christ before dying, it's a chance they can be all right. So we got to find out who is this in the wilderness and see what part is left out while we got the great big radio station, KKLA 95.5 FM, Los Angeles, California, listen, and KSBJ 89.3 FM, and out of Los Angeles, California, take a look at this. President CEO Anthony White, WRIGT. So we want to take a look at who is in the wilderness. Hosea chapter 14. Let's see about this wilderness, because we have precept this to the people he's talking about is the one in the wilderness. So let's see if we find out. That's who Yahweh was talking about. He was saying, he said, you people that was that from the wilderness, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have eternal life, and I will raise you up at the last day. So that's the reason why right now they ask you in a minute, have you had your Eucharist? Because one thing about it, if you don't get it, you will not be raised since the 8th century. Catholic Church have taken over that, adopted that for themselves. But they left a lot of tidbits in the book saying, our fathers that was in the wilderness. And that's the precept words, is our fathers that's in the wilderness. And Paul brought it back in the 10th chapter saying, to remind Northern Kingdom that our fathers that was in the wilderness. Yeah, but we ain't got no name on our fathers in the wilderness yet, but we got to find one. Let's go to Hosea chapter 14, and we'll look at verse number 10. Let's go see if we put a name on our fathers in the wilderness.
The book of Hosea.
Chapter 14, verse
the book of Hosea, chapter 14, verse number 1.
Make it verse 10 there, Brother Yahya Israel.
The book of Hosea, chapter...
Hold on a minute. We got a memo saying, it's no problem up hearing, because we have amplified it real loud. So while he's saying, Brother Yahya is real quiet. We all ears to hear what you got to say on what we doing today with the long lines getting that blessing. But we ain't gonna stand it too long, but we're gonna take care of a little bit of it. But remember we read the definition of the word herb. Herb is a definition of a person put themselves in a position to be signified on. And it seemed like that definition right there, I didn't know why it was on the table. Now sometimes you got organizations that put themselves in a position to be signified on, to be marked. And that was a herb is. It's like a person wearing a pair of pants, a pink pair of pants with lines in it, and he come to school, and everybody stopped and looked at a person with a pink pair of pants with lines in it. Brother, you know you're going to be signified on. Unless you're the baddest cat in class. But if you're just one of the regulars, you know we're gonna wear you out. We're going to mark you until you get all the way back home and take your pants off. You see, like the 17 nations, they leave themselves open for the six anointed camps to really statements according to Scripture to see can anything that you do or say hold up. That's what it seemed like to me. So that's what I mean, herd. So if I call you a herd, the sixth anointing camp, now you know what the meaning of it. Is a person put themselves in a way to be marked. And a weak of what? Understanding. That's what they call that weak. It's not weak physically. It's in the mind you're trying to, you are herb in the mind. You're weak in the mind because you will go with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. This is what you do. This is what you'll do in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. What did I say that, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 14 reads, book of Ephesians 4, verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
You see, listen, on it counts. Listen, that's why we say we properly that you understand one thing. Yahweh is saying in the wisdom of Solomon, it's not the herbs, it is Yahweh's word. He want to give his word without measuring, but you got to step up in Yahweh. You got to make sure you step it up a little bit. You got your branches on? You're not supposed to teach with no branches. You ain't got no branches on, you're supposed to be teaching. If you're going to teach a class at our 6 and 9 camp, where are your branches at? Do you know the blessings is in the branches? You got to set example, the 6 anointed camps, with your fringes on, be prepared to meet them where they at, to teach them thus as Yahweh on whatever it is, and always be ready to when you speak, give me 3:15 in 1 Peter, and when you speak, see, right, 6 anointed camps, and when you speak, this is what it says in 1 Peter 3:15. What does it say that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse number 15 reads, book of 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify Yahweh in your mind, and be ready always to give an answer to every man or woman that asks you, a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear.
And meekness and fear, see, right? And you got to have meekness and fear. See, we receive memos at the last minute. We don't be reading nothing until we turn this thing on. Then the memos start coming in all directions because we keep telling you got to leave a message on the international line because the cell cannot entertain all that. The sixth anointed counts, if you are legitimate, they will get back with you and they will answer your question. The seal can't put no time in it. And well, we need to explain a little bit more about a seal also. Well, you think the broadcast is about you? We like I said again, we only on airways 3 hours. And a lot of things that we say, you just going to have to tune in a little bit more because everything we say is going to be what? Because the way you've been led. So, we should probably take care of that too since you brought it up on the table. See, we don't give you a good answer, but we always going to give you an answer according to 1 Peter 4:11. See, when we give an answer, we got to give you a 1 Peter 4:11 answer. And what do it say in 1 Peter 4:11 there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse number 11 reads, if any man or woman speak, let them speak as the oracle of the Yahweh. Any man or woman minister, let them do it as of the ability which Yahweh giveth. Yahweh in all things may be honored through Yahweh the Son. To whom be praise and dominion forever. Hallelujah.
And see, another thing, and the reason why the seal cannot entertain everything, because even in Surah 37, verse 10, and let's go down and take it this one minute. Throw me some 3710 on the table, just to kind of make sure it's on this tape 34. Sirach, 34 verse 10. Listen to this right here.
The book of Sirach, chapter 37, verse number 10. Sirach 37, verse 10.
Yes, sir. That sounds pretty good.
The book of Sirach, chapter 37, verse number 10. Consult not with one that suspecteth thee, and hide thy counsel from such as envieth you.
See, we know that you're lying in wait and trying to catch the six anointed counsel in something, so we ain't going to tell you too much, period. And when we do tell you something, the whole world going to be here at the same time. Because we know you lie in wait to catch the six anointed counsel in something. So we're not going to tell you too much that when, but when we get on the network, we'll bring it out where everybody hear what we do say on something that you do say. So now read that again in verse 37. So we clear that it don't, see, because the radio station KKLP 95, we left message, but she didn't return the phone call. And KSBJ 89, verse 3. See, it's the point. That don't move the six anointed camps. That don't move because of your dignitary advantage. Because we know that it's from 3710 lying in what you're doing. We know something in the book of Psalms, and something we know in the book of Psalms 64, something that we know. Let's see what we know in the book of Psalms that we can read. See, we don't try to figure out anything. We'll say, well, Yahweh, you know, give me a verse, and that book just will pop open. And I'm still waiting on somebody out of, you know, that big debate class got one of my books, you know, and think that book will open. That book ain't going to open up there. You're going to choke you. You ought to bring that Bible back. Bring that Bible back. It ain't going to open up for you. It's like that stick that Moses, and in that stick, I'm still waiting on that stick to some information on that YHWH, that big black stick with the name of YHWH. I'm hearing some talk about it, but I need to hear some more. Now, in the 64th chapter of Yahdai Israel, we know that when you 64 verse number 6, what do we say is in Psalm 64 verse 6?
The book of Psalms, chapter 64, verse number 6 reads. Number 6 reads, Psalm 64 verse 6 reads, they search out sin, they accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thoughts of every one of them, and the mind is deep.
Well, we know that you ain't, when you say something, you've been already examined it so many times, and that's why when we do speak, we're going to speak from the oracles of Yahuwah. That's how we're going to speak. Now read me that 37:10 one more time, that Brother Yahuwah Israel.
The book of Sirach, chapter 37, verse number 10 reads, Sirach 37, verse number 10, consult not with one that suspecteth you, and hide your counsel from such as envieth you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doggone right. Now the six anointed counsel. I hope you got that down pat. Hide your counsel. If they got some suspect in them, because it could be some Sirach 1:29-30. What do we say anyway in Sirach 1:29-30? See, now listen. See right here. Because somebody say something to you, you all of a sudden give my answer. But be very careful. Understand that, listen. You know, they seek deep to have their counsel, and like they say to the seer, You know, tonight we're going to catch you in something. Yeah. But in Sirach chapter 1, 29 and 30, what do we say that, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Sirach chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 30 reads, book of Sirach 1, verse 29, be not a hypocrite in the sight of men. Take good heed what thou speakest. Verse number 30, exalt not thyself, lest you fall. Bring dishonor upon yourself, and so Yahweh discover your secrets. Cast you down in the midst of the congregation, because you came is not in truth to the fear of Yahweh, but your mind is full of deceit.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying, watch yourself, because you got some that they always will leave a flattering remark, but not all the time. Before they get out of your eyesight, they're going to call you everything they can think about, you know, and you have to recognize their spirit when they start giving you great swelling words about, yeah. But knowing the fact that you got deceit in you. See, you got to understand something. You got to recognize that, see, the Sixth Anointing Council, recognize whoever talking to them by the book, not by 724 St. John. You cannot make your calling according to St. John 724. Stop making your calling according to 724. Say that, Brother Yagdai Israel, that book of 724.
The book of St. John, chapter 7, verse 24 reads, judge not according to the appearance, but judge to instructional judgment.
Mm-hmm. Because they mind be of deceit. Let me precept that to the 27th chapter of the book of Sirach, 27. Because see, you time out that you stop being off balance. Balance, see right here. Because you got to make sure that you ain't got to think of nothing, but that spirit of Yahweh will help you in that same hour if you get right. If you get right, Yahweh, he already right. His name is Mr. Righteousness. So it's up to you to get right now. We're going to precept that to Sirach 27, 22 through 30, and then we're going to put this off the side for a minute. I need to talk a little bit about what's coming up in the next day and a half or whatever time it is. I need to swing a little bit of that in. And the radio stations, I will get back on this. You know, you being a herd, you open yourself up for a big marking. You know, it's just like you wearing purple pants with red stripes in it or something. And they come to the pads in a halfway up your back of your leg. You open yourself up to be signified on, and that's what you do when you want the opinion of the Six Anointed Camps. Because we'll weigh out what you're saying, and we'll check you out what you say through the pages of the book. What's the reading, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Sirach, chapter 27, verse number 22 through 30 reads, book of Sirach, chapter 27, verse number 22. He that winketh with the eyes worketh evil, and he that know of him will depart from him. Verse 23. When thou art present, he will speak sweetly and will admire your words. But at the last he will write his mouth and slander thy sayings. Verse 24. I have hated many things, but nothing like him. But Yahweh will hate him. Verse 25. Whoso casteth a stone on high, casteth it on his own head. And a deceitful stroke shall make wounds. Verse 26. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. Yet she that sitteth a trap shall be taken therein. Verse 27. He that worketh mischief, it shall fall upon him. Yet she shall not know whence it cometh. Verse 28, mockery and reproach from the proud, but vengeance as a lion shall lie in wait for them. Verse 29, they that rejoice at the fall of the righteous shall be taken into snare, and anger shall consume them before they die. Verse 30, malice and wrath, even these are abominations, and the sinful man and woman shall have them both.
Let me precept that to Jude 1:10. Brother Yahdai Israel, can I get me a little Jude 1:10? And I need to look up the definition of that word when you get ready to read a word, and then I need to know the definition of the word. Sixth Anointed Council, you have to step your game up. You got your fringes on when you're teaching? You know, sooner or later, like I said, Gary, you have to step it up. You know, we got to stop reacting to, and we got to be proactive. See, but we got to lead by example. Keep this in your mind. We'll focus on with that in a minute. Very important. So now, Jude, this is Yahuwah the Son's brother, Jude. You know, Mary had a lot of babies. I don't know why she got a black ribbon around her. Over there in Guadalupe, if you look at the picture, you see a little black ribbon around her. That's saying she's pregnant. Yeah, but pregnant with who? Because she had a lot of babies. She had a lot of babies. She had a lot of daughters, too. So she had a lot of babies. But ain't none of them 2,000 years old. She ain't got a statue of her pregnant now. No, that's 2,000 years ago. That's another story. Now, what it said in Jude 1:10, matter of fact, read verse 1, 8, and 10. I said, well, I ain't going to make a meal out of it, but I got to get some out of it. 1, verse 8 and 10, Yahuwah the Son's brother is making a statement. Let's see what he says. 1, verse 8 and 10.
The book of Jude, chapter 1, verse number 8, and verse number 10 reads. Book of Jude, chapter 1, verse number 8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Verse number 11, verse number 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves.
These ones, they are brute beasts. Now, we're going to get a definition of what is a brute beast. Let's see what you're talking about there, brother. Yahdai Israel, see, right? A brute beast. Come on. Brute beast. That's what we want to find out about. A brute beast. What is that? What is that saying in Jude 1:10 that they are a brute beast? What that mean, Brother Yahdai Israel? Come on.
I'm looking up the definition for the word brute beast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking up the definition for the word brute beast. And let me see what we can come up with here.
Brute beast. Now, we want to hear what this word means, brute beast. What is the definition of brute beast? He said they despise dignitary. They despise that. He said, and when you despise dignitary government, you become a brute beast. Everything all right. But until you start, drop that definition, brother Yahdai. I want to say something, but I wait. Go ahead and drop that definition down, a brute beast.
Well, it's really not giving me a definition of brute beast, but I do have brute. Let me see what.
Well, what is Bruce? Give me something. And I guess I can fill in the blanks, Israel. Give me. Come on.
I'm looking at the online KJV dictionary definition of brute. Number one, senseless, unconscious, as the brute earth. Two, irrational.
Okay. I can take that a little bit and work with it. Senseless. That means can't stand correction. That means every time you're all right until you have to correct me. Now, once you correct me, that's what a brute beast is, one that cannot stand correction. We all right in denial, but once you start having to rebuke them, that means correct them, that's when you see another side come out on them. Also, they be talking, but once you correct them, then that brute beast come out. A definition of the number one definition of a brute beast is one that cannot stand correction. That's when the part of them come out, and that's when they're going to start calling you a B-A-N. Now you become a B-A-N. When you correct them on something or something they don't know of, then the first thing they're going to do is now call you a B-A-N, huh? So when you correct them, everything going good. Now there you go. Now you better correct me. So now you gonna be a judge. See, that go right there. Now you gonna be a judge. But the man sit up judges. Matter of fact, in the 1:7:35, look what Yahweh said in Acts 7:35. He says, Paul, he had a shot to come to the great big temple of the Almighty Yahweh. And this is what he said. He says in 7:35 to that great big temple of Southern Kingdom. And what did he say in 7:35 of Acts?
The book of Acts chapter 7, verse number 35 reads, this Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? The same day Yahweh said to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the minister spirit, which appeared to him in the bush.
See? So, you know, you got to recognize that everybody in the book, ain't nobody want the responsibility of being in that position. They don't try to craft their way to it. Yahweh can't get out of it. Then he tell you once I get you right, then look out among them and get one that's gonna be. Then he says, then what happened in the 11th chapter? See, Moses tried his. I mean, where that at, WC? Where that? Well, okay, all right. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4 there, Brother Yahdai Israel. What do you mean, where that at? I mean, you 500 million members, and you ask me where that at? Where that at? Go to Exodus chapter 4. A minute. Yeah, Brother Yahdai Israel. And Exodus chapter 4 there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's see. Exodus 4. And listen to what Moses say. This is Moses. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you something, right? You see, you know, we have to watch the best of them. But we understand that Moses in Exodus chapter 4, Moses said what in verse 10? Let's read a little bit, see what Moses said. And what did Yahweh, take it down to, I'm going to take it right on down to verse 17. Hey, you know, we, like I said again, we back on airways again to tomorrow, but we got to call it the way we see it. Let's see what he's saying here. Moses, chapter 4, verse number 10 through 17. What it say?
The book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse number 10 through 17 reads. Book of Exodus 4, verse number 10. And Moses said unto Yahuwah, O my Yahuwah, I am not eloquent, neither hear the truth, though since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Verse number 11. Yahuwah said unto him, Who made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind, have not I, Yahuwah. Verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. Verse 13. And he said, O my Yahuwah, sin, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt sin. Verse 14. The anger of Yahuwah was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his mind. Verse 15. You shall speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what you shall do. Verse 16. And he shall be your spokesman unto the people. And he shall be even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. You shall be to him instead of Yahuwah. Verse 17. Verse 17. You shall take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs.
That rod I'm looking for right now. See, you know, you got some that can bear witness. You know, I tried my best not to be, just be part of back in the days, and some can bear witness. I tried my best to get out and tried my best. But I'm telling you something, see, right? It's not the, everybody in this book tried their best not be in the position because it ain't nothing but grief. But then once you get in that position, then you have to start setting things up. So, you know, try my best to hide out from that responsibility. But you can't hide out when Yahuwah puts the finger on you. And then he'll give you the tools of what you got to look for in Numbers chapter 11. So then he'll tell you now, okay, you trying to run and all that. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to have Aaron do the talking. Because if you can't talk that, you can't talk that pure Semitic language because you've been hiding out with him. Don't worry, Aaron can talk for you. But then after he couldn't get out of it, then Yahuwah told him something in Numbers chapter 11. And this is what Yahuwah told him. Look what he told him in 11, verse 16. 16 through 17. Look what he said here.
The book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse number 16 and verse 17 reads. Book of Numbers 11, verse number 16. Yahuwah said unto Moses, Give unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you knowest to be the elders of the people, officers over them. And bring them unto the temple of the congregation, that they may stand there with you. Verse 17. And I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take of the spear which is upon you, will put it upon them. They shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you bear it not yourself alone.
Verse 24.
Verse number 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of Yahuwah, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the temple.
And in 7:1 of Exodus, what happened in 7 verse 1 of Exodus?
The book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse number 1 reads, Exodus 7, verse 1. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, See, I have made you Yahuwah to Pharaoh. Aaron your brother shall be your seer.
You see that, see, right? Don't nobody ask for this abuse. not those of Yahweh. You don't ask for this abuse. And when you look out there and put the thing on somebody, they try their best to get out of it too, but they can't get out of it. You know, you can't get out of it. We be looking right at you. And you can't get out of it. Huh? We're going to try you and see what you're working with. But you can't get out of it once the thing is put on you. Huh? Now, Acts chapter 18, 19 through 21. Listen good. See, you can't get out of it when time will come. We're going to talk about all that later on, too. But it's very important to understand something. That I got to put something out of here. Give me First Maccabees chapter 1:42. Let me show you something. Let me show you something on this tape. First Maccabees 1:42 says what?
First Maccabees 1:42 reads, "And everyone should leave his laws, so all the nations agreed according to the commandment of the king."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, make it second. Make it chapter 2, verse 42. That's pretty good. That's what we're going to do. We don't left everything the man got written in his Bible, and that's why we in them, and that's why the majority of the northern kingdom, majority of them, is right there in that long line trying to get that Eucharist in the mouth, because that's Jesus Christ in there and Guadalupe too. And they're trying to get a whole big belly full of that as we speak right now. Long lines, like the gas line. All of the big dignitaries got long lines out, putting that Eucharist in the mouth, taking a little drink. Everything that you have did in the past, it's been wiped off. It's been cleaned through Jesus Christ and taking this right here. 2:42 says what?
The book of 1 Maccabees 2, verse 42 reads, "Then came there unto him a company of Assyrians, who were mighty men of Israel, even all such as were voluntarily devoted unto the Torah instructions."
Yeah, and what is the Torah instruction saying? Let's go to Jubilees chapter 6, verse. Let's go to Jubilees chapter 6, verse 33 through 38. What is devoted to be? So you know, see, you got to be devoted to the Torah instructions. You don't be devoted to no man, no woman. You got to be devoted to the Torah instruction. So somebody got to be devoted to the Torah instruction, and they're going to look at one thing. I'm going to be devoted to the Torah instruction. What does the Torah instruction say? Jubilee 6, 33 through 38. What is it saying, Brother Yahdai Israel, see you right?
The book of Jubilee, chapter 6, verse number 33 through 38 reads, Book of Jubilee, chapter 6, verse number 33. "But if they do neglect and do not observe them according to his commandments, then they will disturb all the seasons, and the year will be dislodged from his order, and they will neglect their ordinance." Verse 34. "Now the family of Israel will forget and will not find the path of the years, and will forget the new month, through the word moon and season and Sabbath, and they will go wrong as to all the order of the years." Verse 35. "For I know, and from henceforth shall I declare it unto you, and it is not of my own devising, for the book lieth written before me, and on the heavenly tablets the division of days is ordained. These they forget the feast of the covenant, and walk according to the feast of the nations, after their error, and after their ignorance." Verse 36. "For there will be those who will assuredly make observation of the moon, that it disturbeth the season, and cometh in from year to year, 10 days too soon." Verse 37. "For this reason the year will come upon them, when they will disturb the order, and make an abominable day, the day of the covenant, and an unclean day of feast day, and they will comfort, and they will confound all the days, the righteous with the unclean day with the righteous, for they will go wrong as to the month, Sabbath, feast, and jubilees." Verse 38. For this reason I command and testify to you, that you may testify to them. For as I death, your family will disturb them, so that they will not make the year 364 days only. For this reason they will go wrong until the new month, season, Sabbath, feast, and they will eat all kinds of blood with all kinds of flesh.
Jubilee 49 verse 10, and what else? And what else they gonna do in 49 verse 10?
The book of Jubilee, chapter 49, verse number 10 reads, Jubilee 49 verse 10, that the family of Israel come and observe the Passover on the day of its sixth time, on the 14th day of the first month, between the evenings from the third part of the day to the third part of the night. But two portions of the day are given to the light, and the third part to the evening.
Yahweh told Moses, make sure they do the feast on the 14th day at evening. He said, tell the children of Israel, make sure you do the feast on the 14th day at evening. The 14th day of evening. Observe the Passover. That's what he just said. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Jeremiah 10, 1 and 2. He said, Moses, you tell them children of Israel, keep the Passover on the 14th day at evening. That's what he told them. Jeremiah 10, 1 and 2, what it say?
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse number 1 and 2 reads. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse number 1. Hear you the word which Yahweh speaketh unto you, O family of Israel. Verse number 2. Thus saith Yahweh, learn at the way of the nations. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them.
He said, don't even be looking up there. Ain't none up there for you. Look down in your book. 2 Kings chapter 21-23. He said, children of Israel, don't you be even looking up at no moon or whatever it's doing. Because if you do the moon, you're going to be 10 days too soon. The majority of all the camps, they don't have the Passover already. They don't had it already, and it started at 12 o'clock afternoon. And then Yahweh saying it was Passover don't start until the evening of the 14th day, and that started on the 13th day of the evening. You know, look what it said in 2 Kings 23, verse 21-23. Listen good.
Book of 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 21-23 reads. 2 Kings 23, verse 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto Yahweh your Yahweh, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Verse 22.
Let me get in there real quick. Keep the Passover as is written in the covenant. You the man saying, keep the Passover, not according to the moon, according to as it is written. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to take this thing through six anointed camps. The Passover will be kept as it is written. Come on, Mr. Mo.
Verse 22. Surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel. Nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, Yahdah Judah, was 23. But in the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat, wherein this Passover was holden to Yahweh and Yahdah Judah, the southern kingdom.
He's the man that's saying, keep the Passover as is written. Let's go to Acts chapter 18, 19-21, and We're back out on you, brother Yahdah Israel. We'll come back on some more. Listen, just keep the Passover the way you can read it. Six anointed camps of bosses over to, although we're going to do it anyway, as written. But tell your Lord want the Passover according to the Bible, or put the book down. The Passover is done as it is written. That's how you do the Passover. What's written? Yeah, that's how you do it. Look what we got written over here. And old Paul in 18 chapter verse 19-21. Let's see what Paul's saying. What is he saying?
The book of Acts, chapter 18, verse number 19 to 21 reads, Acts 18, verse 19, he came to Ephesus and left him there, but he himself entered to the temple and reasoned with Yahdah Judah, the southern kingdom. Verse 20, when they desired him to tarry a longer time with them, he consented not. Verse 21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must, by all means, keep this feast that cometh in Yahdah Judah, the southern kingdom. But I will return again unto you, if Yahweh will. And he sailed from Ephesus.
He said, look here, I know that the Passover is on the 14th day every year. I ain't got no excuse why I have not set my schedule up to keep the Passover. The Passover, why is always catch you? Oops, oh, I forgot to put my days off. You forget because you follow the world. See, Royals, you got to follow Yahweh. Why you entertaining and not following Yahweh and think Yahweh going to bless you and now oops catch you? The Passover is the same way every year. Whenever you find out when Abel's 14 and either, that's Yahweh's Passover. It tells you plainly in 13 verse 10 and a closing statement, what it says in 13 verse 10 of Exodus. Every year it tells you this. What does it say, brother? Yahweh Israel 13:10.
The book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 10. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year.
Close the statement, brother. Yahweh Israel, we get back on some more tomorrow. What's your closing got to say there, brother? Yahweh Israel, come on.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. The other way is rolling out there, see Israel, up seed royal, free word team, to the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Listen, the man, every year, you know you're supposed to be about Yahweh's business. You can gain the world and get yourself cut short. Paul said, I don't care what I'm doing. By all means, I got to keep that Passover feast that's coming with the six anointed camp. Got it on time. They know when it's there. It's in the evening time when the sun goes down Tuesday night. That is Passover. Six anointed camp all open, ready to go. Listen, see, right? Same thing every year. You got to keep what the man got written in his book. So the man going sooner or later, you have you looking for a Eucharist. How you looking for a Eucharist cracker? Well, enough said on that. Mr. Tibbs, what is your final thoughts and dust says, Jacques, while this jam-packed audience you on the clock come on?
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother C. Israel, and thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. And we welcome and thank all of you for attending our broadcast, too, because we have found out that listening to scriptures make us wise. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing whom thou hast learned them. 15, and that from a child that has known the righteous scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, the covenant, which is in Yahweh the Son. 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. Coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost about Yahweh's word, connecting the books, your health, and foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have knocked and you came to seek. And you found that which you have sought in Yahuwah's ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday from 6:30 to 9:30 until the temple members desire to leave. Saturday is the bottom part of Sabbath. Temple class is at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5, once again until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address for the members to use. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your current smart devices. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Actually, you know what's happening here, we get the same thing that the seer gets. Sometimes we get calls right during the broadcast that we ask people kindly not to do. But anyway, getting back to what I said, right on the search line, you want to enter www.tribeyhdh.com. Just under the big line, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offering. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, it's a little different. Just under the line this time, you'll see menu. After clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offering and follow the same instructions as it said for previous use. Doing so, remember what we're told in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto Yahuwah the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also, to build a school and a banquet hall and land to grow the health foods that we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself in tune with the feast days that come to you and your family throughout the year, which we often mention. For the live program, this feature is only available during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. This time, type in three words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click in it, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and this will put you right into our live online broadcast. We're currently using two email addresses also. The first is tribe, that's T-R-I-B-E-Y-H-D-H, at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject, or related topics answered. The other is yhdhysrael at gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. You could even state how our program was to you. We have a few numbers also to reach Yahuwah's ministry. Think to considerably use them before broadcast time or afterwards would greatly be appreciated as not to disturb the words of Yahuwah. We use a few verses from the Bible to explain why. We look at the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8, and 8 says, answer not before thou have heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. The other is James, chapter 1, verse 26. 26 says, if any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceiveth his or her own mind, this man, a woman's religion is vain. But still, there are those that do the opposite of what the scriptures say. Just like a few minutes ago, got a call right during the program announcement, interrupted what I was speaking to the members. They called during the program announcement or called disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. I suppose, as I've said many times before, they may not be familiar with what Yahuwah the Son has told to us in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. 29 says, Yahqua the Son answered and said unto them, ye do error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahqua. Also, we find it necessary to mention, please by no means contact the seer direct for questions via voicemail, email, or text. He is usually pretty busy answering many memos, even having thoughts of running just a memo show. And we all can imagine that. Responding to the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and mostly important, the most important thing, is preparing Yahqua's lessons before our program starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited by Yahqua's creation to only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered directly by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahqua be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahqua in mind. The first is the live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, as I previously mentioned before. You can call or leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahqua's ministry, but again, not the seer. He's often trying to exceed, as I mentioned before, Yahqua's creation of 100%, and found this is impossible as quoted in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26, as you'll find out what that means later. For those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15, which is a good thing. Except for Fridays, this program is repeated at 9:45 p.m. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Once again, enter the three words, Yahqua Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, we're in the process of making it possible for the listening members to get a CD or DVD recording of any program by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, as you can see, as I said before, this is a very exciting day for the Word of Yahqua. And each time we have our ministry program for Yahqua, it's always exciting. And the only thing we notice a change is the number of people that come for Yahqua's word, which is always a good thing. And those that commend it add unto it, only following by those casting the same words we listen to behind their back, which we've seen that. Taking the verse's meaning totally another way, along with noisemakers, complainers, wanting to be a deceptive listener, flipping the pages in the Bible to look like they're paying attention, but are completely lost when they're called to speak. I see this one quite often. They have clearly forgotten that we're only one man or one woman, and seriously, time is not in our favor. But the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what one man or one woman was Yahqua created to do in this life, and that's if at all possible. Remember, because if anyone ever told you they've done at least 101%, they just lied. Now they're doing the work of another past Yahqua's creation. That's impossible. Don't forget I mentioned earlier what Yahqua the Son had said about the impossible in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Let's see what 26 says. 26, but Yahqua the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahqua, all things are possible. So we want to keep those possibilities up for all the listening members. We want to make sure that you get all of Yahqua's word, those that deserve it. Keep your Bibles open. Continue to listen. We're going to pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahqua.
Hallelujah, Yahqua. Mr. Caleb, that was excellent again on your part. That's a great thing. One thing about it, see, Ray, we stay humble, by the same token, we know the job we got to do. If we don't do it, we'll be plagued, and time is not in our favor to be plagued, because he wants to fill all the good what he have to offer us. And that's why we tell you about, you got to have the wisdom of Solomon 16, verse 2, working with you. Well, you got Yahuwah first, and then everything we tell you about how to get yourself together, it'll work for you. But you got to have 16, verse 12. You got to, it's not the herbs, all the stuff we tell you. You got to have your Yahuwah first. That's why Paul stopped what he was doing and said, man, whatever I'm doing, God, dog, let me stop him, because I want to make sure I can come again. But you got to have your Yahuwah first. We tell you things that can help you. When you meet the mothers out of camp, one with a loud voice, you said, mother, D.F. Israel, Yahuwah be with you there, Soraya.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there, Mother D.F. Israel. Now, Mother D.F., we just got through reading about Apostle Paul. I'll read again. Apostle Paul was on a mission. Otherwise, he was doing Yahuwah's business. So all of a sudden, he, in Acts chapter 18, verse 19, he said, oops, verse 21. What did Paul do in Acts chapter 18, verse 19 through 21? What did Paul do? Acts chapter 18, 19 through 21, you on the clock, come on.
Acts chapter 18, verses 19 to 21. Verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the temple and reasoned with the Yahdai Judah. Verse 20, when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. 21. But bid them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that coming in Yahdai Judah, but I will return again unto you if Yahuwah's will. And he sailed from Ephesus.
Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I got some old time for you. Got some old time for you. I got this for you. And Paul said, oops, by all means, I got to get. Now, reading he said that, let's go to 2 Ezra chapter 2, 35 through 40. Let's see why Paul said that. He said, oops, I got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
2 Ezra 2, 35 through 40, bring it.
Okay. 2 Ezra chapter 2.
Verse 35 through 40. The world is listening, Mother D.F. Israel. Bring your A-game and come on.
2 Ezra chapter 2, verses 35 to 40. Verse 35. Be ready to the reward of the kingdom, for the everlasting light shall shine upon you forevermore. 36. Flee the shadow of this world. Receive the joyfulness of your honor. I testify my Savior openly. 37. Oh, receive the gift that is given you, and be glad, giving thanks unto him that has called you to the heavenly kingdom. 38. Arise up and stand. Behold, the number of those that be sealed in the feast of Yahuwah. 39. Which are departed from the shadow of the world and have received honor, garment of Yahweh. Quote, take thou number, O Yahdat Judah, and shut up those of thine that are clothed in white, which have fulfilled the Torah instructions of Yahweh.
What do verse 38 and 40 say again? What do verse 38 and 40 say again?
Verse 38. Arise up and stand. Behold the number of those that be sealed in the feast of Yahweh. Verse 40. Take your number, O Yahdat Judah, and shut up those of thine that are clothed in white, which have fulfilled the Torah instruction of Yahweh.
So, at the feast, so Paul was saying, so now we can really grasp what Paul is saying. What is Paul saying in Acts 18, 19 through 21? Why is Paul stopping what he's doing to get to the feast? Israel, just answer that question. Why is Paul stopping what he's doing? According to what we just got through reading in verse 38 and 40. Why is Paul going to stop what he was doing? He was on a great big mission for Yahweh, big business trip. All of a sudden, Paul stopped what he was doing. For what reason? According to verse 38 and 40 in that second chapter of Ezra. What for?
To get to the feast of Yahweh.
So he can get his seal. He can get anointed. He knows to do another year, he wants the blessing of Yahweh on his head. So he know he got to get to one of them six anointed camps, but he can get them all on him.
Yeah.
He want to be sealed. Mm-hmm. That's why he stopped and he was doing. He said, why should I go a whole year and don't have the seal of Yahweh with me? It's rough out here. So be telling me that I need to be at the one of them six anointed camps in there. And I can't come as is. I got to come what way in verse 40? Second Ezra 2:40.
Second Ezra 2:40. Second Ezra chapter 2, verse 40. Take your number, O Yahdat Judah, and shut up those of thine that are clothed in white, which have fulfilled the Torah instructions of Yahweh.
You see the man saying, he made it so plain what we supposed to do, how we supposed to do to receive the big black hands over you as you touch the ones that can anoint you, is how to, let's go to Numbers chapter 15, 37. Let's see what he says in 37 down to verse 40. So he's telling you all the good stuff. And we tell you every year, the man got rules and regulations that he's taking from his father. He tell you, this is not my teaching. This is the father's teaching. And we only doing his teaching. So he's telling you plainly in 15, 37 through 40 of Numbers, what he's saying.
Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 to 40. Verse 37. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 38. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put up on the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue. 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe that you may look upon it and remember all the Torah instructions of Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. Verse 40, that you may remember and do all my Torah instruction and be righteous unto your Yahweh.
And be righteous unto your Yahweh. It's not being righteous to the six anointed camps. It's not who to your left, who to your right. You being righteous to your Yahweh. And only one on the books is keeping the Sabbath day as it, as 2 Kings 23, verse 21. Now, you tell me who's doing this. Who doing the 2 Kings 23, 21 that we can put our finger on? 2 Kings 23, verse 21. What does it say?
2 Kings chapter 23, verse 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto Yahweh, your Yahweh, as it is written in the book of this covenant.
Keep the Passover as it is written. That's all you got to do is go keep it as it's written. You ain't got to go through no all this calling over there in that pagan land called Esau and his five sons running things. Now, what is the moon talking about? He told you in Jeremiah 10, 1 and 2, don't you even look up there. He said, why don't you do it as it's written? I'll tell you, do the Passover. What kind of way? As is written. Well, how is it written? Let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, 1 through 6, and see how it's written. You said keep it as written? Okay, let's go peep and see how is it written. How about 1, 2, 3, and 6? 1, 2, 3, 12, 1, 2, 3, and 6. Keep the Passover. What kind of way? As is written. Okay, how is it written? The
12th
chapter,
1, 2, 3,
and
6. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 and verse 6. Verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Mizraim, Egypt, saying, verse 2, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Verse 3, speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the family of their fathers, a lamb or an family. Verse 6, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
That means you do your all that. Let's go to Matthew 26 a minute. So now we see what he's saying in Matthew 26 verse 20. What he's saying in Matthew 26, verse 20 there, Mother D up Israel. What is he saying in Matthew 26? What is he saying in Matthew chapter 26? And we'll see what it says in verse number 20.
Matthew 26, 20. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12.
And when the evening had come, so you don't get to eat nothing on no Passover until the evening have come. Mm. So that good evening, what time is Passover? What time is it? What we just told you? He waited till the evening. He waited till the evening. That's when you start getting the eating and getting your drinking on. You do your evening drinking at the evening. Eat them up, drank them up. Read verse 26. 26 and 27. So what time is the Passover? This Tuesday night. When? At evening. What you going to do? You going to eat them up and drink them up with them white garments on. What are we going to do? We're going to do book. What it says in 26 and 27.
Matthew's chapter 26, verse 26 and 27. Verse 26. And as they were eating, Yahuwah the Son took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, his followers, and said, take, eat, this is my body. 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink, you of
it. Thank you. That's right. But they was already eating. They were eating it. They was eating them up and drinking them up. And Yahuwah said, here, look here. You get a little piece of it. They was already eating. Eating them up and drinking them up. If I see right. The past, you're supposed to eat them up and drink them up. There you go. Eat them up and drink them up. From Passover. It's showing you what Yahuwah did. He waited till the evening time. So the sixth anointed count, we wait until the evening come. And we're going to eat them up and drink them up. We're going to do some Bible. You see what we're going to do? So count is doing it according to the Bible as it's written. The sixth anointed counts are voices of the true Israelites. We're going to eat them up and drink them up. Let's go to Ezekiel 45:21. Ezekiel 45:21. See, everybody tells the story. That's why Paul said, oops, I must by all means get back because I got to get my anointing on. I got to get that well, put a big dignitary and put some oil on my head so I can live another day up under the banner of Yahuwah. How do you put off this? How do you go and ignore that the blessing is when you do your Yahuwah the way he tell you to do it? What it says in Ezekiel 45:21. What did he say there?
Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 21. In the first month and the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten.
He said, look here, you had that Passover and you're going right into that high day called unleavened bread for 7 days. So listen, the seer is reminding you that get that Passover out the way. Because when that Passover out the way, the next day is the unleavened bread. The next day is unleavened bread. You do that for 7 days. The first day you have a righteous gathering, and the 8th day you have a righteous gathering, the 7th day, whatever the last one is. And all in between, you know, it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Temple site's going to be open at all locations. But it's open. It's up to you. But make sure you make the first and the eighth. Huh? First and the last. Make sure you do the unleavened bread number one. And then at the end of it, all in between, it's on you. That's up to you. So understand something. Everything is written, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it. And we keep on stumbling around this man, and this man going to tell you something. So now we find out one thing. As is written, we read that the lamb got to be killed at evening. Let's see if anybody picked that up as time progresses on. And let's see. Let's see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 15. Let's see if anybody picked that up. Well, you know, They got lost in the sauce. They got lost. They got lost. Matter of fact, let's go to 9 verse 1 in Numbers first. Let's go to 9 verse 1. See, they got lost, but they look for their records. See, all you supposed to look for your records. You don't look for no moon. Look for your records. If you get lost in the Passover, matter of fact, hold that point. Let's go to 5 verse 10 in Hosea. Book of Joshua first. See, if you get lost, see right here. You gotta go back to your record. That's why the sixth anointed counsel we here for you. We're here to tell you, if you get lost, who to come looking for, and they gonna only tell you what the Bible's saying. So let's see what Hosea, you know, because they got caught up 40 years, all tangled up, messed around for 40 years, and they got out there. Hosea, he was running things at that time. And Hosea made a profound statement. I don't know if he make a profound statement, but this is what he did in the fifth chapter, verse number. Let's pick up at verse number 9 through 11. Let's see what's going on in Hosea, polluted for Joshua, chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. What's going on there, Mother D of Israel? You want to come on?
The book of Joshua, polluted for Hosea. Verse chapter 5, 9 to 11. Verse 9. And Yahweh said unto Hosea, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt, Mizraim, from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at eve in the plains of Jericho. Verse 11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn, and the self same day.
Mm-hmm. So they had plenty of corn seed, right? They had plenty of green stuff, plenty of corn, and they had a little meat, and they drank them up too. Let me tell you something, see, right? You see, there it is right there. See, you got to be in leadership. You got to know where your leadership is at. Your leadership is the sixth anointed council of voices of the true Israelite. I know the world don't want to hear, but they're going to have to hear it sooner or later. They're going to get louder and louder and louder. You're on the way back. Like the Roman Catholic Church said, on the way back is saved through them. That's the biggest lie ever told. The only way back is get up under the sixth anointed council of voices of the true Israelite. If you're going to support something, support this land, school, banquet hall. Because we the ones going to seal the deal on getting you to the way you got to get to. And lessons to come, they're going to show you that. But the Passover is done in the evening, not no 1 o'clock and no afternoon, 1:30, and before it gets out, you're going to dismiss everybody, drunk and everything. That's all they remember, how drunk they got.
Mm-hmm.
The Passover don't start until the evening.
Mm-hmm.
It starts. Be right. What time did it pass over? It don't start according to everybody in the Bible. They didn't do it till the evening. When the sun is down, that's when it pass over. So Tuesday night, what you mean what time? Look out the window and see what time. Is it got dark out there? It's Passover time.
Mm-hmm.
Passover, see, right? Then after Passover, it's unleavened bread. The sisters on the camp, we ready to go. Eat them up and drink them up. Now, let's see if anything changed in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 15. Now, okay, well, give me Numbers chapter 9, verse 1 first. Give me Numbers chapter, just in case you mess around and oops, you forgot about the Passover and all that. Oh, I forgot again. It's same way every year to year, 6 anointed camps, right there for you. 9, let's read something in the 9th chapter of Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say? Or read a little. We got
Numbers chapter 9, verse what?
Yeah, pick up at 1. So I read a little bit. I'll stop here and we'll get some more.
Okay. Numbers chapter 9, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Mizraim, Egypt, saying, verse 2, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at its appointed season. Verse 3, and the 14th day of this month at eve, you shall keep it in its appointed season, according to all the rituals of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof shall you keep it. Verse 4. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. Verse 5. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at eve in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. Verse 6. And there were certain men.
Hold on right there. Hold on right there. So you see, Yahweh commanded Moses. Moses had the leadership. He put the elders together and everything. So let me tell you something. Yahweh told Moses. Moses told Aaron. And it's a protocol about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the children of Israel that's in this wilderness with you, keep my Passover on the first month, 14th day, and just don't do it when they get ready. Wait till the evening time comes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do nothing till the evening, sunset, when
mm-hmm.
you do the Passover. No Passover at no 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 10 days too soon. You're not,
mm-hmm.
you don't need, you what you got a period for. You don't need no Bible. You go out to traditions and men's. The Passover is in the evening. Now, let's see what Yahweh said in the 11th chapter. I mean, verse 11 and 12.
Numbers chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. The 14th day of the second month at eve, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Verse 12. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bones of it, according to all the ordinance of the Passover. They shall keep it.
What he's saying, if you in a journey also, you don't got caught up, you know, it don't caught you again, you keep it the next month at the same time, the 14th day of the second month at evening, but this time you add your herbs and all that stuff with it. You put everything together. You put everything together because you can't do no unleavened bread twice. He said put everything together on the second month. You eat the Passover and mix in the bitter herbs and everything you want to do on that second month. Read that verse again, verse 11. So he said you tie all of it in. It's the first month. The second month come up on the 14th day of the evening. Then you put all that stuff together. Verse 11. 9, 11, read it.
Numbers chapter 9, verse 11. The 14th day of the second month at eve, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs.
You see it? You see it? Read 12.
They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bones of it, according to all the ordinance of the Passover. They shall keep it.
But now he put it up to Annie on you now in verse 13. Now he put it up to Annie on you. Here you go. Verse 13.
Verse 13.
And 14.
And 14. Mm-hmm. Numbers 9, 13 and 14. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbear to keep the Passover, even that same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of Yahweh in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. 14. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto Yahweh according to the ordinance of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. You shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land.
He said, if you clean, you don't keep the Passover. He said, you're in a whole heap of trouble. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
If you
yeah.
clean, you got no reason to not miss that Passover, and you don't keep it, and you clean, you're going to bear the burden was written in the Bible. That's what he just said right there in verse 13 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
Mother D of Israel, until we get it again tomorrow. Holy Freeman, what you got to say with this old powerful network is, all ears and quiet as a mouse. Come on.
Well, I want to say I thank Yahuwah for the seal, and I thank Yahuwah for his word. And I say hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
That's powerful. Excellent. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. For the D of Israel. Huh? Front liner. See, wait, you got to be a front liner. You have to be a front liner in this right here. You watching that one-eyed faith of them, the Roman Catholic Church coming up with all this Eucharist and everything else. It ain't got nothing to do with this Bible. That's something made up from the imagination of their own mind. Let's go back to the network and look for Mother E and Mother Z. Always close by. Mother E. When you meet the mothers out of Cap 1, Mother E. Israel. Tribe of Yahdah Judah. And Mother Z. Yahuwah be with you there, C. Roy.
Yahuwah bless you, C. Israel, or C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there, Mother E. And Mother Z. Let me tell you something. That come humble. And we tell you what this man is saying. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And we'll look at verse 1 through 15. Run back to 2 Chronicles 31 through 15. Let's see what's going on here in 2 Chronicles 31 through 15. What's going on there, Mother Eve?
That's 2 Chronicles 31 through 15.
Yes, ma'am. What's going on in 1 through 15?
2 Chronicles chapter 30. Verse 1 to 15, verse 1. And Hezekiah sent for all Israel and Yahdah Judah, and wrote letter also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the temple of Yahweh at Yahdah Judah, to keep the Passover unto the Yahweh of Israel. Verse 2. For the king had taken counsel, and his prince, and all the congregation of Yahweh Judah, to keep the Passover in the second month. Verse 3. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficient. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Yahdah Judah, the southern kingdom. And the thing, verse 4, and the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. Verse 5, so they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Yahweh of Israel at Yahdah Judah, for they had not done it for a long time, in such sort as it was written. Verse 6. So the post went with the letter from the king and his prince throughout all Israel and Yahdah Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, you children of Israel, the northern kingdom, turn again unto the Yahweh of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remembrance of you that are escaped out of the hand of the king of Syria. Verse 7. And be not yet like your father and like your brothers, which transgress against the Yahweh of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation as you see. Verse 8. Now be you not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Yahweh, and enter into his sanctuaries, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Yahweh, your Yahweh, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Verse 9. And if you turn again unto the Yahweh, your brethren, and your children shall find consolation before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again unto his land. For the Yahweh, your Yahweh, is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. Verse 10. So the post passed from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, the northern kingdom, even unto the river Baal. They laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Verse 11. Nevertheless, deliver Asher and Manasseh and Zerubbabel humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem, the southern kingdom. Verse 12. Also in Yahweh Judah, the hand of Yahweh was to give them one line to do the commandments of the king and of the prince by the word of Yahweh. Verse 13. And there is seven, Yahweh Judah, much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month at evening. In the second month, a very great congregation. Verse 14. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook of Kerar. Verse 15. Then they killed the Passover on the 15th day, on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offering unto the temple of the Yahweh.
Come on back to verse number 6-9 and 12 again. Now, see, right now we talk to the northern kingdom right now. They Guadalupe and Roman Catholic Church down, and we tell them, you know, you're not Mexicans or Puerto Ricans and all that other stuff anyway. And look what happened here. Here's their history in verse 6-9 and 12. Read 6-9 and 12 again. We got a big job ahead of us, six anointed camps of bosses, the other two was alike. Particularly verse 6-9 and 12. What it say?
2 Corinthians chapter 30, verse 6 through 9, and verse 12. Verse 6. So the post went with the letter from the king and his friend throughout all Israel, the northern kingdom, and Yahdai Judah, the southern kingdom, according to the commandments of the king, saying, you children of Israel, turn again unto the Yahweh of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to thee, remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the king of Syria. Verse 7. Be not you like your father and like your brother, which transgressed against the Yahweh or their father, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Verse 8. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Yahweh, and enter into his sanctuary temple, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Yahweh, your Yahweh, that the defenses of his wrath may turn away from you. Verse 9. For if you turn again to the Yahweh, your brethren, and your children, and find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Yahweh, your Yahweh, is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. Verse 12. As in Yahdai Judah, the northern Canaan, the hands of Yahweh was given them one mind to do the commandment of the king and of the prince by the word of Yahweh.
Northern kingdom, return back to the southern kingdom. Be obedient, big mouth, get the mouth down real tight, and listen and learn. The only way back is through southern kingdom. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1, 11, and 14. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 11 and 14 says what? Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. It'll skip down to 11 and 14.
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1. Deuteronomy
11
chapter 16.
And verse 1, 11 and 14.
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1, 11 and 14. Deuteronomy 16. Verse 1. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Observe the month Abib and keep the Passover unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh. For in the month of Abib, the Yahweh, your Yahweh, brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Verse 11. And thou shalt rejoice before the Yahweh, your Yahweh, you and your sons and your daughters, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gate, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Yahweh, your Yahweh, has chosen to place his name there. Verse 14. And thou shalt rejoice in thy seed, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levites and the stranger and the fatherless and the widows that are within thy gates.
Mm-hmm. Verse 17, the closing statement. Verse 17, the closing statement. We're catching them all. Mother Eve, catching them all. What did verse 17 say? So you bring your families out. You rejoice. Eat, drink at the evening. Right back Passover. Do it till you're satisfied. Verse 17, listen good.
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Yahweh. According to the blessings of Yahweh, your Yahweh, which he has given thee.
Marie, close the statement till tomorrow. Get some more on tomorrow. What's your closing statement for this old record-breaking audience and all them big dignitaries listening in as Mother E give her close? Come on.
Thank you, praising Yahweh, for another class. Thank you, praising Yahweh, for the teacher. And thank you, praising Yahweh, for each and every one that's listening. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Yes. That's Mother E and Mother Z close by. You can bet that. One thing about it, Steve Roy, we come humble. But this Easter, Passover, Eucharist, listen, Steve Roy, that ain't nothing but something to hem you up and where you've been hemmed up all your life. Passover for the children of Israel to keep wherever you at. You folks be trying to get in contact with one of the six anointed camps and get into the Passover with them white garments on, them fringes on, and enjoy and receive the blessing of your Yahweh. See, right here, don't keep on putting this off. You're going to lose. If the man shuts it down, if you prepared to meet him, he's going to meet you in a way that you don't want him to meet you if you out of order and let the world hem you up. Until we meet again tomorrow night, and we'll get back on some more. Keep the Passover. Tuesday night at the 14th. Get them white fringes on, them white garments on with them fringes on it. And Yahweh be with you all till we meet again tomorrow night. All right. Shalom.